So church, what is church? Something you go to on a Sunday morning, a building, a place, an event, something you do, like a job, a business, a practice, a discipline. Is it a club, like a special interest group? Since having a baby, I've discovered that there's all these kinds of clubs that now we get special entry into. Yeah, tip, if you don't have kids yet, then, man, if you want to get into some clubs, have a kid. Antenatal class. It's the most ridiculous thing. I mean, it was great. But in the antenatal class, they were talking one day about pelvic floor muscles. You know what I mean? And so here we are, all adults, sitting around in a circle, and we're doing our pelvic floor. Good times. You might be doing it right now. I don't know. You don't want to think about it. This church is where I met Tessa. My sister Anna met Dave. I think Chris and Stacey you met here. And there might be some others, so maybe church is a place, it's a place of romance. Yeah. So I think church is many, many things to many people. And it's just remarkable, it's incredible to think that since the time of Jesus, every generation, believers have regularly met together. It's a couple of thousand years. And there's something about church which is really different from a business or antenatal class. So when you tell your workmates or your friends that you're at church on Sunday, they might have ideas of some of the traditions, the building, the space. They might be completely wrong. But what they might not understand is that you're talking about the household of God, which the Bible says is the pillar and foundation of truth. Paul wrote this to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 3:14 to 15, he says, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." And the truth that Paul is writing about, he says it in the very next verse, "He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory." The truth is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And this is a crazy concept to think that the church, look around, this is us, we're the church, the foundation of truth in the world. That's our purpose, the number one purpose of the church. And there's three great word pictures that describe the church in the Bible that I'm just going to really, really quickly race through. The first one is family, the second one is body, and the third one is bride. None of those are clubs, none of those are business, none of those are about buildings. It's a family. Family, I think, is out of all those three, is a really, really great picture, but I also find it a really, really challenging picture. We're family because we're all adopted into God's own family. I think Dad said that when you were speaking prophetically this morning, we're no longer slaves, but children of God. Once we decide to give our lives to Jesus, then we become part of his family. It just happens. We become his brothers and sisters, and so we become each other's brothers and sisters. We can't say that Christ is our King and be a follower of Jesus without entering into his family, without becoming part of his family. And like our natural families, we don't get to choose our brothers and sisters. And unlike natural families, we might love each other 1 minute and be so mad at each other the next minute. We never had that, eh, Nicholas? No. A family is incredible. The hardest that I've ever laughed is always like with Nicholas and Anna, and something ridiculous happens, and we are just crying with laughter on the floor. Do you know what I mean? Do you have this in your families? We just can't hold it in, tears. So this happened actually the other day. We weren't even together, but Anna sent me a YouTube video of this guy doing farts in public. And I was just crying with laughter over this thing. It's not even really that funny. If I sent it to you, go, that's stupid. And I just couldn't hold it in. Yeah. Tessa even videoed me laughing. I've got tears coming down my face. I was trying to hold on to Elena and she was asleep and my body's just heaving with laughter. It was terrible. I can send it, yeah. Families share blood. Even the most dysfunctional families are united by this one thing. They share blood. And the same way a church is dysfunctional. No, in the same way a church is united by the blood of Jesus. And so, yeah, churches, I think probably every church around the place has got some level of dysfunction, you know. But we're united by the blood of Jesus. And being in his family, being his sons and daughters, is what gives us our identity. So family, as an image of the church, is really, really beautiful, but it's also powerful. It's also challenging, I mean. And the second picture that I want to talk about is body. Ephesians 4:15 says that instead, speaking in truth and love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That's crazy. We are the body of Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I reckon one of the really great things about this image of the church being a body is that it gives each of us a part to play. It gives every individual a purpose in that body. From the youngest to the oldest, everybody plays a role. And also, I think, really important for our sense of self, like it's not the same role. We're not called to do the same thing. In 1 Corinthians 12:12-16, Paul paints a cartoon of what it would look like if we all tried to do the same thing. He says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. Don't be stupid. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? I don't know. And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And it keeps going on. He's like growing this picture. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. That's why we wear trousers. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. So it's great, isn't it? The body image, it gives us each a part. It connects us all. We're all connected. We can all support each other. We can all value each other. The next picture that I want to quickly look at is the church being the bride. This is another challenging one, eh? I'm a man. I think I'm a man, and I'm a man. Manly man. But we, as God's, you know, the Bible says that the church is the bride. We are Jesus' pride and joy. It's interesting how he doesn't call the church his wife, hey, but his bride. And I think Maybe this is partly to do with on the wedding day, sort of that the passion and the level of emotion that all goes along with that. I remember on the day Tessa and I got married, and seeing her walk down, and I just looked at her, just completely sort of gobsmacked and overwhelmed and in love. And that's the way that Christ looks at the church, as the bride. It's that level of passion, of love, that you'll do anything for this treasure. Jesus loves his bride so much that he gave his own life for us, paid for us with his blood. So despite what the world may see, the church is precious. It's valuable. It's beautiful. And it's powerful. In Acts 20:28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Revelations 19:7-8, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. The bride of Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew 16:8, it says that the powers of hell will not conquer the church. This bride, this body, this family is broken and as small as we are sometimes. We look around a church like this and we go, wow, we're not many. There's not so many of us. There's enough. I know there's quite a few people that are away a bit crooked today. We're not many, we're not wealthy. We need an extra, what was it? $8 per week, per person. We're not powerful by the world standards. And we in the church, like everybody that God seemed to choose in the Bible, ragamuffins, failures and weaklings. Sam and I were talking before the service about we can fool ourselves into thinking that we're better than we are sometimes, eh? But we're not. But in Christ's eyes, we are. We're made righteous in it. Grace upon grace. Because somehow now we are sons and daughters, brothers and sisters in Christ, a body of believers and a beautiful bride that Jesus loves passionately. This church has incredible power. The church globally, so the Big C church, incredibly powerful. But even a church like this, incredibly powerful. Yeah, crazy. This church and what this church stands for and upholds in the city is an incredibly powerful thing. Each one of us can bring life and light into situations that no one else can. We are a pillar and foundation of the truth in the world of Jesus. Capital Vineyard is not a mega church, not yet. This time next year. We're not a mega church, but along with every other church that bears the name of Jesus, we have a world transforming mission to bring his light everywhere we go. And we get to start right now. And when you look at these sorts of images, family, body, bride, they're all to do with a togetherness, like a unity. Church is made up of individuals in a community, and we reflect the Trinity, the community of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the community of God. We're not designed to be alone, because there's strength to be held and to be found in being together. I'm just going to read a paragraph from the Perfect Exchange website. Living in spiritual isolation makes us vulnerable, like a sheep wandering away from the flock. When we aren't surrounded by a loving network of people who are moving towards Jesus together, it's easy for us to wander off track, get lost, lose momentum, or become prey for the enemy. When we stick together, we're safer, stronger, and we can go further. I think this is true. I've known quite a few people that for one reason or another decide that they don't need to go to church anymore. Maybe there was something on a Sunday morning that they got annoyed about. There's something challenging. There's always challenging things. And so they stopped coming. And then over a certain period of time, it seems like their faith becomes less and less active in their life. And then further along, you talk to them, and it seems like actually God doesn't even is not even there in their lives anymore. And I'm not saying this happens because they've stopped coming to church, but I think that in being part of a fellowship, whatever kind of fellowship that is, whether it's being part of Capital Vineyard, gives us a sort of an element of, I don't know what it is, like a protection around our faith even. I wonder if there's a sort of a supernatural thing that goes on where there's some sort of protection that happens when we are part of a body that protects our faith. And if we go, our faith is precious to us, our faith is a gift to us, then maybe part of that is actually investing into it by being part of a fellowship and going, this is, I'm going to protect what God has given me. I know I'm speaking to the converted a little bit, you're all here, right? I know you believe me. So anyway, a couple of weeks ago, Michelle McClintock gave a really powerful talk about developing community in our neighbourhoods. So if you missed that, that is online, have a listen. And one of the main things that came through to me as she was talking about it was that community doesn't just happen. It's not sort of a random coincidence, like a passive thing. Especially in our, I think in our culture at the moment, we can be neighbours with one another and not even have a community with them. We might not even know their names. And it's unless we take action, we're unlikely to even have a community, a meaningful community. And it's the same here. As I was sitting listening to, I was realising it's the same at church. Community ain't just going to happen. But there's really practical things and actually kind of obvious things that we can do to build community with one another at church. And you look at these things and they're often about surrendering a bit of ourselves. It's a bit sacrificial to do it. And this is quite countercultural as well. We need to be aware of the spirit of consumerism. The spirit of consumerism is a thing that can severely damage, I think, and undermine the mission of the church. Consumerism, the idea that the purpose of the church, consumerism when it's applied to the church anyway, is the idea that church is here to meet our needs, it's to meet our felt needs. And I think there's an element of this that is actually kind of true. Our church should be a place that we can receive healing, where we find freedom, where there's hope. All these sorts of things, that and far, far more. But I guess if we fall into the mindset or the trap of thinking that that is what the church is, that's the purpose of the church, and if it's not doing those things, then I'm out, then there's something a wee bit screwy with that. Church, as I've said, is family, it's body, and it's the bride of Christ. Have you heard the phrase, church shopping? We're doing some church shopping. I was thinking about this the other day, church shopping, but church is the bride of Christ. So it becomes, church shopping actually becomes a really horrible idea. We're shopping around trying to find which bride we're going to buy or something. I know that, you know, it's good, it's really good to find a church that we fit into and a church that we can trust and a church that we know that we can build relationships with, but shopping is not what we're doing here. Church is a place where everybody gets to play. And more than that, church is a place that everybody should play, I think. Then there's a really important mind shift that we all must have. This changes everything. That's not the statement. This is the statement. It's not all about me. It's not. It's not. Who's it about? Yeah, it's about Jesus. He's the hero of our story. So how do we go about building and developing community? I'm just going to pinch Michelle's ideas. She gave us 6 B's of developing community. The first one that she said was be kind and compassionate. I reckon that's really good. It's a good place to start. Be kind and compassionate to each other. And if I could add a third one, it's listen to each other. I shouldn't do that finger, eh? One, two. I'll skip the naughty finger, third. So, listen to each other. I'm approaching the age of 40. Yep. Which is a pretty significant age. I think Moses was about 40 when he killed a man. Yeah. So, watch out. Midlife crisis, 40 happens when you kill a man. Dad's approaching, so that was a significant time for Moses. He killed a man, raced into the desert and became a shepherd. So that's a good midlife crisis. Dad's approaching, well, not approaching, but yeah, 8 years away and you're going to be 80. That's when Moses decided to come back out of the desert and lead the nation of Israel for another 40 years. You just take a holiday while you can. That was a tangent. Anyway, where was I? Listen to each other. Yeah, so I'm almost 40, so quite a lot of wisdom in my years. And one of the things I found is that it's actually really, I think listening is a learned skill. I'm terrible at listening, but if I really put my mind to it, I think that's a good idea. It's a good idea to listen to somebody. When you're in conversation, getting to know people involves listening to them. You have a conversation with somebody and you hope to go away from that conversation actually learning a little bit more about their lives and about what they're going through. Eh? Be kind and compassionate and listen. Be hospitable. Oh man, I've got this list, right? But this is hard. I don't really like being that hospitable. Tess is way more hospitable than me. I like the idea of inviting people around, but when it's time for them to come around, I kind of go, I'd just rather play guitar or watch YouTubes. But be hospitable. Yeah, it's a good idea, right? I think it's a good idea. Join Amber Jane's hospitality team. Be vulnerable. Being vulnerable is really important as well, because, and especially in a church, being vulnerable means opening up to each other. You can share a little bit about sort of the difficulties in your life if you want to. Or you can share about the good stuff. But you get, if we're vulnerable to each other, then we're inviting other people in to help us out. Be intentional. Henry McClintock, Michelle told us the story, so I'm just going to tell it again. He likes to park his car down on the street and not have an internal garage. And the reason for this is so that he can have sort of those random chance encounters with neighbours to meet them and say hello. I think that's a really cool idea. And so that's what happens on the street. So what are the things that we can do to have chance encounters to get to know others at CV? It's not rhetorical. Give me some answers. Yell them out. What are the things you can do?
Join the hospitality.
Join hospitality.
Join the coffee team.
Join the coffee team. Anything else?
Say hello to someone you've not
seen. That's a good one. Say hello. Yep.
Invite people,
yeah. Other people can invite other people around for dinner. Good idea, yeah. There's so many things we can do. One idea that I had is sitting next to each other. You don't even have to talk to each other. But just by sitting next to each other, there's an element of getting to know each other. Do you ever... I've already gone way off track, eh? So I'm just going to do it again. If you're a man here, you know that there's rules that apply to going to public toilets, the urinal rules. And there was this game on the internet a while ago, and you walk into a toilet and you have to choose which urinal you're going to use. And the rule is basically that you're never going to stand next to somebody who's already there before you. That's too close for comfort. The same doesn't apply for church. It's different here. Different rules. We have a different game. Yeah, that one's tight. That's tight. Who wants to donate some money to get a bit more space in the urinal out there? Gotcha. Yeah, here's my vision for the church. Yeah. That's probably the way to grow the church, eh? More room to pee. The fifth one, so intentional. The fifth one is being social. And one of the examples Michelle had was about going to street parties. And at church, we have things as well. Next Sunday, oh, it just happens, we've got a shared lunch. Woohoo! It's a good time to get to know each other. You don't have to talk about much, just have a snack and say, that's a nice snack. But different events that happen here at church. Often one of the struggles is when we put events on, this is going to sound a bit heavy, I don't mean it to be, but sometimes it's difficult when we put events on and there's not great sort of buy-in. That's hard. It's hard for organisers. But you're seeing it from the other perspective, we're not doing it for the organisers, we're doing it to build community. That's the overall aim. Events that happen here at church. Connect groups, special interest groups, all those kind of ways. It's a way of being social. And the last point that she had was being the point of difference. So this might look a little bit different in our neighbourhoods to what it is in church, being light bearers in our neighbourhoods. But I think it's different, but it's the same. Being the point of difference, we get to support one another. We get to encourage one another and pray for one another. We need to listen and to share. And John 13:34, Jesus says to us, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So there's a really, really high purpose and a high calling in actually building that community with one another. And loving one another and building that unity with another, we're actually demonstrating to the world something of the love of God. We're pointing to Him. We're showing a different way to be human. I had a picture of what this was like. Each of us being a spark, just a tiny little ember. And it's on its own, a spark is not all that impressive. But when you get a whole lot of sparks all together, then we get something spectacular, and they're called fireworks. And fireworks are just a collection of little sparks, little weak, vulnerable sparks. But everybody is drawn to fireworks. Not cats and dogs so much. But everybody else, drawn to fireworks. And in the same way, each of us with our tiny embers, when we sort of are drawn together in that way, we can make something that shines before others and draws others to Jesus. So this morning I want to highlight some of the connect groups that we have at CV. Connect groups and home groups are really, really brilliant, great ways to build stronger, deeper relationships with others for going deeper into God together. So I want to invite the home group leaders up, and I'm just going to ask them why they do it, why do they think it's important, what they do and where they meet. There's a few that haven't been able to make it this morning, so I'll just stand in for them. But I want to invite up the inner city group. That's Rosemary and Graham on there. There's the city cafe group, which Dad's going to represent. Do you want to come up? Cell group of power. So Johnny's going to represent. Marilyn's going to come up. Do you want to come right on in? Come right around. Marilyn's going to represent the ladies' Bible study that happens on Fridays. And there's another couple of groups that I'll sort of mention, and that's the one that the boys' group that Henry runs. Actually, Nicholas, do you want to stand in for Henry? You go to that one, eh? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Sorry. Rose runs the girls group. Is there anybody that goes to the girls group? Rose's girls group? Emma Jane, represent that. And anybody that goes to Coffee Tots that wants to say something about that? No? Cool. You do? Oh, sweet. Okay, you get to do a couple. So I'm going to hand the microphone over to Rosemary and Game first. So. Oh, which, the Whitby. Come on up, Whitby. And you're going to tell us when you meet. Okay, so I'm going to start with Rob a bit. So what I'm going to ask you is why you do what you do, why you think it's important, and then just when and where it happens.
So a few of us get together at our place, which is 5 Pensilver Close in Camborne, on a Wednesday at 7:30, except when I'm in Christchurch, which does happen quite often. And we do it because we love to hang out together. At the moment, it's really just the 3 of us, but when the ministry training stops, it'll be back to the 5. But we have had other people come and go, and we just have a great time reflecting and just getting to know each other and praying and really sharing needs.
We also meet on a Wednesday night at 7:30, and a lot of things that you said about the body applied to us, sharing things and praying for one another, for healing, for burdens to be lifted. And we have people representing the Daily Encourager and Tumanako Christian College, and so praying those into being. There's a lot of promises there and a lot of encouragement needed as we see those being birthed. And on Saturday nights, alternate weeks, we like to go out on the streets and give hot drinks and sandwiches and blankets or other things to homeless people, and also offer to pray for them, have prophetic words for them. And what you said about listening, really important to listen, because sometimes they're very, very lonely people and they just love to know that somebody cares about them as individuals. And we're also very mission-oriented because most of us have been to either or all of China, India, Cambodia and Lebanon, so we love praying for missions. So it's got the outward and the inner focus, and I think the difference with a home group is instead of, you know, one person talking, everybody listening, in a home group everybody is able to talk and everybody is able to practice gifting and practice the gifts, and I think that's really huge.
Yeah, the City Cafe group is primarily there so that we can pray for the city and the nation. And we're pretty specific in terms of our time together. Generally, it's for 1 hour every Friday. It's usually from 12 to 1, although recently we've had to be a little bit more flexible, from 1 to 2. And we send out a text to people, let them know when and where. We have been meeting on the waterfront, Mojo on the waterfront, the Meridian building. But recently we've been meeting at the Verve Cafe and also last week at Astron House. We're trying to be flexible because we want to meet, so that people haven't got too far to walk. But effectively, as I said, we meet together. We pray for Justin, the mayor. We pray for specific things such as the highway. We're pretty direct in what we like. Extending Highway 1 through to the airport, or possibly light rail. But we actually are really wait on the Lord, and we are very specific in terms of what we pray for, and we're seeing some results. I mean, anyway, so we'd love you to come and join us.
We have a cell group that's recently started that's meeting fortnightly in various locations in the hut and Johnsonville. We just rotate houses just so it's not like a big burden. But in all reality, like, I think our purpose of our group is to kind of strip away the facades that we live behind and to stop pretending and to be real with each other and to actually tell each other what's really going on in that. So don't come to the cell group if you don't want to talk about yourself. Nah. No, seriously, like, community is just, like, really important, and we really want to start being real about life, because there's so many people in here that are going through so much things, and you would just never know like what they're going through on a day-to-day basis. And that's so vital to actually having a real community, is to like, hey, this is ugly, this is beautiful, both of them together. Yeah, is that everything?
Is there a Bible study? Is it? Is it known as a Bible study? Yeah, I thought that to begin with too. But actually, we just have such an amazing time of fellowship on a Friday morning. We start at 10 o'clock with coffee and chatting and chatting and chatting. And we do talk about God in the chat and how God is affecting our lives and what God is doing. We talk about families. We are very authentic. We have built an amazing relationship with each other, and I would say it's a very, very safe place, which can be very important at times. And I would like to say that there's five of us, and with the relationship that we have, we really have got a very good foundation. And if at any time, ladies, any of you would like to come along on a Friday morning for a one-off or a two-off or regularly, you are more than welcome. We go till supposedly 11:30, but really 12 o'clock. And it's here at Capital Vineyard, and we laugh and we cry and we do life together. And I really think, I have to say this, that it takes on part of the DNA of this church. It's very authentic. I can. So, change hat, coffee tot. So every now and again, quite regularly this year, I come with my little granddaughter because I have her on Wednesday. And coffee tots is amazing. It's an outreach. And I think I've only ever seen, am I right, two other people from the church. And often there are up to 10 mums here, different nationalities, which is lovely. And I always ask the ladies, the young ladies, you know, how did you hear about this? Some people are Christian, but they just think that this has got the atmosphere that they want their little ones to be in. So if you know anyone that does want to come along with children, I have to say, Wayne does the most amazing coffees for us on Wednesday morning. Thank you, Wayne. And the children, Andrea is just amazing how quietly she goes around with it. So please spread the word on that too. Thank you.
Cool. So I'll talk about the male side of the McClintock House Group, I guess. So it started out as, it's up in Nio, we meet. So the male part, the men, we meet every fortnight, and then the women meet the other fortnight, so that means we don't have to get babysitters for our families. So it's basically all of the, we do all of the stuff that we've talked about, really. We start at 7:30, I normally arrive at 8 o'clock, and then we kind of, we go for about an hour, and then we, often includes drinking beer, which is quite good, so it makes it quite attractive. So we have a cup of tea, and then we have a beer, and then if we're lucky, there might be some baking from one of our respective other halves. So we get to debate how you know we can get to compare and sort of. There's a bit of competition. It's quite a big competition. Yeah, and then we follow up with beer, and then we go home. Not too much beer that we can't drive. So we haven't had to have a sleepover yet. That would be embarrassing. So we're quite responsible about that. Yep.
I go to the other half, the girls only version, and we don't drink beer, but I'm starting to think that maybe we do drink tea and coffee. We could drink wine, there's no rule against, but we're girls only, and so we get to talk about girl stuff. A lot of us end up talking about things to do with our families and our children, but we also talk about kind of the things that we're experiencing in our community. And Nick's wife Rose is about to take over leadership of our group, and I think I heard her say that we're going to do a little bit more of a formalised Bible study over the next little while. And we always pray at the end, so we bring forward anything that needs prayer for either ourselves or the people that we care about. And it's a real sisterhood. I think like the women that I've met through the group are lifelong friends, and as we invite new members to come in, it's like we're kind of, I don't know, extending a family of like really powerful Christian women. It's a good place to be. Same thing, Wednesday nights, 7:30, every second week when the men aren't there.
Thanks for that. And thanks for what you do, like giving up your time to run the home groups and to be involved with them. So I know I've run out of time. I just want to also mention that another great way, we've already covered it, but another great way of connecting with others is actually by serving on teams at church. Got a bunch of teams that are going on. You'd see them in action, and it's a really good way. Working with somebody is a great way of building relationship. There's lots of different ways. And I thought it was really cool, be really cool this morning to do something spiritual together, and that's communion. Communion is something we do together. The Lord's Supper, eating the bread and drinking the wine. So again, this activity that believers have been practicing since the night before Jesus' execution for 2,000 years. And when you read about the very first communion, they were really close together. Some people think they were actually like lying on each other, around in a circle. That's the nearness of what they were doing. Jesus and his apostles reclining at the table. It says in Luke 22, 14 to 20, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes. So Dad and I were going to bring out the emblems. And I thought it'd be really cool if, you know, you come up, you grab a piece of the bread and the wine, and instead of going back to where you were sitting, we do an action this morning where we're actually all sitting together with no gaps between us. And so when I was imagining it, would kind of maybe we just focus on this section and we'll just all sit together and we'll take the bread and the wine, all as a family of God, all together, and then we'll wrap up the service. You don't even have to talk to each other if you don't want to.